In the beginning of the 7th century, there was a great war between the Persian Empire and the Roman Empire, or Byzantium as it's sometimes called today. And historians tell us that in 614 AD, King Khosrow II of Persia conquered the Holy Land and laid siege to Jerusalem. After only 22 days, he breached the walls of the city and proceeded to destroy all of the holy sites, killing nearly 70,000 Christians. He then set his sights on Bethlehem, only 9 miles away. When the king's commander arrived there, he noticed a mosaic on the outside of the 300-year-old Church of the Nativity and above the entrance. And it depicted three men wearing the garb of Persian Zoroastrian priests. He was moved that his countrymen had apparently visited Bethlehem before and considered it sacred. And he refrained from destroying the church, which you can still visit today. Epiphany is what we call this visit by the Magi to the baby Jesus. And this Greek word means to make an appearance or a manifestation. And although we traditionally say that the Magi were three, Matthew doesn't mention that number in his gospel. The tradition probably exists because of his mention of the three gifts that were brought to Jesus. Of course, January 6 is the actual date, and that opens king cake season, where we try to find the baby Jesus in our pieces of cake. Well, we're celebrating it today because the U.S. bishops don't want you to have to go to too many masses during the week. But I guess that means that officially, according to the Catholic Church, you can start eating king cake today. I did notice that Rouse has it on sale already. But it's interesting that in the Eastern churches, Epiphany is characterized by not just one event, but three events in the life of Jesus. Let's reflect on these three events and how each of them is connected to a separate gift of the Magi. So the first epiphany is today's gospel, and it's largely connected to the gold. Why gold? Well, the Magi had gone to Bethlehem to find the newborn king of the Jews. And gold is an appropriate gift for a king who can use it to provide for his subjects, build his kingdom, and defend it from enemies. And we know that Jesus Christ is king, as he told Pontius Pilate. But gold only has its value on earth. It only has temporal value. Jesus had told Pontius Pilate that his kingdom is not of this world. And the book of Revelations tells us that the streets of heaven are paved in gold. So gold is valuable on earth, but in heaven it's pavement. The next two gifts point to something more than just an earthly king. So the second epiphany in the Eastern churches is the baptism in the Jordan. And the frankincense points to this. Frankincense is an aromatic resin from the boswellia tree. It was incredibly valuable at the time of Jesus, but that isn't what makes it important. The book of Exodus describes the burning of frankincense on the sacred altar before the Ark of the Covenant. It was used in the temple. Yes, it was sweet smelling, but the clouds of smoke were meant to symbolize the prayers of the Jewish people rising up to the Father. And that points to the epiphany of God at the baptism of Jesus, where the Holy Spirit descended in the form of a dove, and the voice of the Father is heard saying, "This is my beloved Son with whom I am well pleased." So gold points to the kingship of Jesus, but frankincense points to something greater, to his divinity. And the third epiphany in the Eastern churches is the wedding feast at Cana. The wedding feast at Cana is the first sign in John's gospel, often called the Book of Signs. Cana isn't just a miracle whereby Jesus keeps the party going. It's a sign that points to the Eucharist and his death. At Cana, Jesus turns water into wine. At the Last Supper, Jesus turns wine into his precious blood. My hour has not yet come, he told his Blessed Mother at Cana, but his hour had come at the Last Supper. And this is where the gift of myrrh comes in. Even Isaiah didn't get it perfectly in the first reading. He said, caravans of camels shall fill you, dromedaries from Midian and Ephah, all from Sheba shall come bearing you gold and frankincense. But the Magi also brought myrrh. And now myrrh is another resin that's extracted from a tree of the Compiphora species. And it also had special purposes for the Jewish people. Moses used it as a core ingredient in the sacred anointing oil. But its most important use was to anoint bodies after death. In John's gospel, Joseph of Arimathea brought 100 pounds of myrrh and aloes to anoint the body of Jesus after his death. So we have three epiphanies: the visit of the Magi, pointing to a king and his gold; the baptism in the Jordan, pointing to God and the frankincense used to worship him; and the wedding feast at Cana, pointing to the blood of Jesus at the Last Supper, which would pour out of his body on the cross, and the myrrh that would be used to bury him. And each of these gifts are still used today in the church's liturgy. Our sacred vessels and our tabernacle are plated in gold. Our frankincense that we use at the Mass, 10:30 Mass tomorrow, symbolizes our prayers rising up to God. And our sacred oils contain the myrrh. And the same thing goes on today in the Basilica of the Nativity in Bethlehem, miraculously spared by the Persians in 614 AD, and the oldest site continuously used as a place of worship by Christians in the entire world.